Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
As I mentioned earlier, I took our kids to camp this past week, and God did some powerful things. Some of our kids were healed. Some of our kids were delivered of fear. Some of our kids, God spoke into their life about their future, about God's plan for their life. And through this week, as God was working and moving, I just felt God say, I want to do something different in the service. So we're going to just postpone our Christian Atheist series. And that's why on the back of your bulletin, it's blank. Because I told the secretary, don't put the notes in. We'll keep those for the next time we get into it. But I want you to, there's just a blank page for whatever God speaks to you through this service this morning. Because I believe that God wants to do something incredible in your life, in many people's lives today. And it has to do with the area of pain. If you're in pain. And this started last Sunday. Last Sunday afternoon, I got done teaching the Destiny class, went home, and we found water in our furnace room. Hot water heater went out, and it was leaking water, and we had a mess, and we cleaned it up, and I called a plumber, and I found out their emergency rate, and I said, well, what would it be if you came in the morning? And he told me, I said, okay, and he says, you just have a hot water heater there, and I can put it in. And so my wife, I was keeping my wife in hot water, you know. That's the only good hot water to have your wife in, man, you know. But I wanted her to be in hot water before I took off for a week in camp and left her in cold water. So my son and I, we went and got a hot water heater, got it down in the basement, and he did most of the heavy lifting. But when we were in the basement and we were moving it, I was bent down, and my back, it was okay until I let go, and I came up, I was like, oh, I could hardly move. My back, just in the lower back, it was so tight, it was painful, it was sore, and I could barely move. It took me 2 hours to get my stuff around and pack for camp that night. At first, I just went and laid down. I was in so much pain and slept through the night, got up in the morning. It really wasn't any better. And I told my wife, even Sunday night, I don't want to go to camp. I just want to stay home. I did not feel like it. And it was funny, before my back went out, I said to my wife, well, man, God must really want to do something big at camp, you know, for the water heater to go out right before you leave, okay? And little did I know how big a something God wanted to do. Anyway, we loaded up Monday morning. We took off, got to camp. My back's not really any better. Got there after the 3-hour drive, and I'm in constant pain. Okay, I'm always thinking about how much pain I'm in. That's how sore my back was. At 4 o'clock, we had a leaders meeting, and they're just talking to all of us leaders and counselors about what's going on, and you know, giving us the lowdown and everything we need to know for the week of camp. And then they says, "Okay, let's pray." And they gathered in a circle, and they said, "Does anyone have any prayer needs?" And nobody shared any prayer needs. I didn't see any prayer needs because, honestly, the whole meeting, I was just thinking of how much pain I was in. And they're praying, and it's like, I'm not going to bother them with my back and that kind of thing. And so we get done praying, and one of the leaders said, you know, I just sense there's someone here who is in a lot of pain. And maybe it's physical pain. Maybe it's emotional pain, spiritual, you know, what? I don't know what kind of pain, but maybe I just sense someone's in a lot of pain. And I was like, okay, they opened the door. So I says, I'm in a lot of pain. And I explained about my back and the hot water heater. So they gathered around me and they prayed. And they got done praying and they says, hey, how does it feel? Is it any better? I says, no, there's no change. Doesn't that make you feel good? Oh, God, heal him, Lord. No better. So they said, well, let's pray some more. So they started praying some more, and I don't know, somewhere after, I don't know how long it was, I just felt like God say, I want you to raise your hands, and I want you to begin to praise me. And I just felt like, okay, I'm going to raise them high, even though this is kind of uncomfortable. I'm going to raise them high. I want you to begin to praise me and thank me for healing your back. Now realize, nothing had taken place. Nothing had changed. So I began to raise my hands and praise God. And somewhere in the course of the prayer, the pain begins to lessen. It begins to subside. It's getting better. And I'm still raising my hands and praying. And you know, the prayer kind of dies down. And they say, "How you doing?" I says, "It's a lot better. I'm feeling better." And they were happy and went on their way. But I just felt like, God, I'm going to stand here and keep praying and praising you. And I did it. And there was about 3-4 guys that just hung around me just as I stayed there in his presence. And it decreased to the point where, okay, I can make it. You know, I think I can do this week, because before I didn't know how I was going to do anything. And it's like, I think I can make this. And when I got done, I turned around, thanked the guys that were around me, and one of them said, "You know, I'd like us to take a little bit of time and just wait on God in quiet, because Satan hates silence." And I want you to catch that this morning. Satan hates silence. Why does he do that? I think because Isaiah 40, "They that wait on the Lord renew their strength." When you're waiting on God, you're quiet. You're waiting. You're not doing all the talking and moving. You're waiting for him. Another thing about silence, and our camp speaker shared this, he talked about this with our students. He said, there was a time when one of the prophets, they prayed to see God, and there was an earthquake, and there was a thunderstorm, and there was all these big, loud things happening, but it said God was not in any of that loudness. There was just a still, small voice, a whisper. God was in the whisper. And what the speaker said about camp, he says, the great thing is you don't need this great, big, exciting time at camp where you experience God. You can't take that home, but he says you don't need that at home, because God's not found in the big, exciting things. God is found in the whisper. And I just want you to know, friends, if you are hurting and you need God, you need to wait upon him, because God is found in the whisper. You need direction. You need comfort. You need deliverance. You need victory. God is found in the whisper. Satan hates silence. Satan hates silence. So I just stood there and I just waited upon God quietly, trying to hear what he was saying, and I felt him say, "Depend on me for strength. Depend on me." And he just kind of kept saying it maybe 3-4 times. "Depend on me for strength. Depend on God for strength. Depend on God for strength to make it through this week. Depend on me for strength." And it's like, okay. And then it was just like, okay, God, is there anything else you want me to hear? My back was still a little sore. And this is what I heard God say. He says, "Craig, I'm going to let you keep a little pain. Because this week, there are kids here at camp that are living in constant pain." And God said, on the outside, they look good. And nobody knew I was in constant pain. I covered it up. I could get around and function. It's not like I was this, like I was Sunday night. You know, I improved to the place where I could get around. I just wasn't moving very fast. And the thing is, nobody knew I was in pain. And I felt God say, "There are kids here. They're laughing, they're joking, they're playing games, but they are in constant pain." And just as when you were in the leaders' meeting and standing in prayer and listening to them pray for just generically before they asked about pain, and your mind really wasn't on it, you were thinking all about your pain. Those kids are constantly thinking about your pain. And I'm giving you a little bit of pain so that every time you think of your pain, you'll pray for those kids in pain. You'll pray for God to set them free from their pain, to heal them of their pain, whatever kind of pain it is. And so I also felt God say, "And I want the kids to know that I can take their pain away immediately, just like that. I can take care of their pain." And so I just began to, and when I got done being quiet, the gentleman, his name was Justin. Justin asked me what I felt God say. He was the one that said, "Let's wait and be quiet." And I told him those two things. And so I was just waiting for an opportunity to share, to see what God did. But let me just tell you, I did a whole lot of praying for the next 24 hours. And it was at the Tuesday night service, before service, we have a pre-service prayer time. They pray for about a half hour before the service starts. And David Rivera, youth pastor in Cheyenne, asked me to share, to pray over the kids, whatever God put on my heart. And I says, I feel God's given me a word for the kids. And he says, go ahead and share it. So I got up and I shared with the kids about my back and what had happened. I shared about the prayer time with the leaders, and how one of the leaders says, are you in pain? Is anyone in pain? And they prayed for me. And God really took care of a lot of the pain, but I shared how God left me a little bit of the pain because he wanted me to know that there are students here that are in constant pain. And God, I've been praying for you for the past 24 hours, and God wants to take away your pain. And so I had any student who was in pain, relational, emotional, spiritual, physical, if they were in pain, to stand up. Because one of the statements that the leader said, she said, I feel someone's in pain. She says, we're a family. We want to surround you. You're not alone. And they surrounded me. And I says, we're going to surround you. And so the students of the camp surrounded me. Kids stood up all over the sanctuary. And so all the other students surrounded them, began to pray. Some kids were just sobbing. They were just bawling. And God moved in a powerful way. And after everything was done, and we prayed, and I kept praying for kids in pain throughout the week, I felt God just say, Craig, I want to do something different in church this Sunday. Because there is a lot of people in this building today that are in pain of some kind. And God wants to set you free. God wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to show up and show off in your life. And so this morning, when we wrap things up, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you're in pain, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to pray and believe for God to heal you. But before we do, there's a few things, some of God's word that I just want to share with you, some of the things you've been percolating in my heart for the past several days. And the first thing is, if you're taking notes this morning, if you have pain, how do you get through pain? It's the same thing God said to me, depend on God for strength. Depend on God for strength. That he is your healer. You know, talking to your friends is good. Going to counseling, that's a good thing. There's a lot of good things to do. But friends, if you don't depend on God to take your pain away, for God to take care of your need, it's not going to happen. So you need to depend on God for strength. And how do you get strength? Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 10, it says, behold, the Lord God, and by the way, this is the passage, many of you probably know it, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, they mount up on wings with eagles. I want to give us a backstory to this. I want to share just a couple verses before it. Verse 10, it says, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. I don't know about you, but a strong hand is way better than a weak hand, right? You got a weak hand, you can't do anything. But it says, God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. I love verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. Who's his flock? We are. He will feed his flock. He will feed us like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. You get a picture here of a shepherd who has a strong arm but a gentle, loving arm at the same time. You have a God who is strong and able to take care of your need, but at the same time, he loves you and he cares for you. And even the pregnant sheep, he says, I'm going to lead them gently. I'm not going to drive them real fast. I mean, you see this care, this tenderness about God Friends, God wants you to know that He loves you. He cares about you. You're going through a difficult time. You're weak, you're needy. He is strong and He's gentle and He's loving. He wants to shepherd you through this time of pain. Verse 28, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God?" Now, when I think of the everlasting God, that means He doesn't quit. It's like the Energizer Bunny. He keeps going and going and going. He's everlasting. He doesn't stop. His power doesn't stop. His love doesn't stop. His shepherding doesn't stop. He's an everlasting God, the Lord. The Lord, that means He's in charge. He's the big kahuna. He's in control. You can trust God with your situation. Depend on God for strength. He's the everlasting God. He is the Lord. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Do you realize everything that we see God created? So is there anything too difficult for God? When you look at your life and the problem you're going through, is there anything God can't create new in your life? If He created everything, friends, God has your situation in His hands. He's the creator of everything. He neither faints nor is weary, and His understanding is unsearchable. How many of you get tired? Oh, yeah, I get tired. Sometimes we kind of think, oh man, God's not answering me. You know, maybe He's on vacation. Maybe He's worn out from keeping the world spinning on His finger like a basketball, you know, making it going right now. Hey, He doesn't faint. He doesn't get weary. In His understanding, He knows everything. Here's the thing. Some of you, you're trying to understand God, but realize His understanding is unsearchable. You can't figure Him out. God is sovereign, and there is a reason. There is a time. There is a place. I don't know why God allows things to happen, but here's the thing. I know if I didn't hurt my back Sunday night, I wouldn't have been praying for those students from Monday to Tuesday. I wouldn't have shared with them, you're in constant pain and God wants to set you free and wants to deliver you. Because you see, sometimes God allows things to come into our life not to hurt us, but for us to help those who are hurting. And you can't, here's the thing, this is what I find about empathy. You really empathize with someone and relate to someone and can minister to someone when you go through the same situation they've gone through. And so sometimes God lets you go through pain because He wants to say something. Maybe He wants you, out of your pain, to minister to someone else who's in pain. Or maybe He has something totally different. And I just throw this out. Not just when you get a major pain, but in all pain of our life. And this is something that God's been working on me since Monday. In all the painful situations of life, God wants me to stop and listen and wait and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? Is there anything you want to show me? Is there anything you want to do? Is there anything you want me to know? If you have pain today, or even just a problem, a minor problem, when something comes up, when a hiccup comes in the week, stop and say, God, is there anything you want to say? Pause, be quiet for 30 seconds, and if He says something, fine. If not, fine. But wait on the Lord, because as you wait on God, He renews your strength. It goes on to verse 29. He gives power to the weak. Does it say He maybe gives power? No, it says He gives. Friends, that is a promise. If you're here this morning and you feel weak, you feel you can't go on, then you need to stand upon Isaiah 40, verse 29. God, you said you give power to the weak. That's my promise. I'm standing on it. I'm going with it. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. That word increases, it's a term. It means it's just not like you get one impartation of strength, but you get strength and he keeps increasing. It's a continuous thing so that your strength is growing. It's not I get it and then I get weak again. He increases and it continually increases. So you're getting stronger as you wait upon him. In verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Depend on God for your strength today. Depend on God for your strength. And you do that by waiting. The term wait, it has kind of a, there's two different nuances. One is to eagerly look for, to expect, to hope, to linger for, to tarry. You're waiting, but you're waiting with an expectancy, with looking, with a hope that God's going to come through. And you're not in a rush, you're lingering. There's no other agenda. You're not trying to get out and get on. You're just saying, God, here I am. I'm going to linger in your presence, and I'm expecting you to do something. When you're weary, when you're in pain, when you need strength, that's what you do. You wait on the Lord. But there is a second one, a nuance, and that is to bind together even by twisting. When you're praying, you're taking all of your worries, all of your cares, you're collecting them. And then you're twisting them together, and they're getting compact, and you're just saying, God, here they are. Because so many times, worry, problems in our life, they just feel like they consume us. They feel so large. They feel so big. Our minds just feel like they're scattered all over the place, that we're scatterbrained because we're under so much stress and pressure. And what we're doing is we're taking all of the worry, all of the pain, all of the stuff, and we're collecting it. And we're saying, God, you're my Lord. You're the everlasting God. I'm not going to let them just consume my life and be so big. Greater is he who is in me. And you're collecting them and you're twisting them together so they don't become undone. And you're giving it to God and say, God, I'm waiting upon you. Don't let your problem consume you. Collect those random thoughts, bind them together, give them to God, surrender them to God, and trust him to take care of your situation. When you wait on God in that way, you renew your strength and you mount up with wings like eagles. Be silent and listen. Be silent and listen. Now, as we kind of bring it to a close, I want to talk about different types of pain today, okay? Because there's several different types of pain, and sometimes pain works. You have pain in just one area. Sometimes you have pain in multiple areas, and they overlap and they intertwine and they're related together. The first type of pain is a physical pain, where you need God to heal your physical body. You get injured moving a water heater. You get a sickness, whether it's just a flu or maybe it's cancer or it's some other disease. You get some kind of physical affliction, and you need a physical touch from God. That's a type of pain we can have. And friends, I believe today, if you're here and you're sick, God can heal the sick. God wants to heal you. Wait on the Lord. Renew your strength. You say, what if it doesn't happen? You just keep waiting. You keep lingering. You don't throw in the towel. Another type of pain is emotional pain. This can be all types of emotional pain. Fear, anxiety, panic attacks, stress, anger, bitterness. So many different types of emotions that we have. We can feel depressed. We can feel lonely. We can feel discouraged. We can feel we're all alone. That's emotional pain, and God can heal our emotional pain. Other place in Isaiah, Jesus said, I came Surely I came to bear your griefs and your sorrows. Jesus just didn't come to take your physical pain. He came to take your emotional pain. And he wants to make you whole. Depend on God for strength today. Depend on God for strength. There's another type of pain, and that's spiritual pain. And this pain comes from a couple things. One, it comes from feeling like God has let you down. At camp last week, there was a young girl, and she was on my team last year. When I went as a counselor, she was on my team. We had different teams. We did a competition all week long in recreation. And her name was Angeline. And last year, Angeline was worshiping. She was going after God. She was responding to the altar. She was engaged. And yet this year at camp, I noticed that Angeline was hanging out with this boy, hanging out with this guy, and she wasn't singing, she wasn't worshiping, she never lifted her hands, she wouldn't listen to the messages, wouldn't respond to the altar, she was completely disengaged. And I began to pray for her because I thought there's some kind of pain that's happened in her life. Something took place in the past year where she went from pursuing God to being completely disengaged. And on Wednesday night, there was a group of students, they weren't our students, okay? Our kids were pressing in, seeking God. We got great youth, man. Our kids go after God, and it's awesome. We have great young people. Yeah, give them a hand. I loved being with our kids this last week. It was so much fun, to hang out with them. But there was a group of students, probably about 15 of them, that were just messing around, talking during worship. So I go over to them and I just address them, hey, this is not about visiting with your neighbor. You need to get up from your seat and get up front. Come on, let's go, let's go. Everyone got up except Angeline, her boyfriend, and her girlfriend who was sitting next to her, and they wouldn't move. So it's like, okay, you're not going to move? I'm going to stand right by you, guys. I stood by next to her boyfriend, and I worshiped, and I praised God, and, you know, oh, boy, that didn't work too well. Within a few minutes, her boyfriend has his head in his hands, and I look, you know, what's going on? It's like, I'm sick. I'm really sick. And I'm going, okay, are they working something out here that he's going to the nurse and she's going to the nurse, they're going to run off? So, you know, hey, I've been around the block a little bit. I know how that stuff happens. I took him to the nurse, and he said he hadn't eaten anything all week, and I talked to his youth pastor while he's in the nurse. He says, well, he chugged a Red Bull and had a bag of chips, and I don't know, maybe that's all he had, but, he wasn't feeling well, so they gave him Gatorade, and anyway, I go back in the room, and Angelina's there. She's all by herself, and she begins to walk down, and I've been praying about, God, when do you want me to talk to her? Because something's going on. And I felt that was a moment, so I went and approached her. I says, hey, Angeline, you know, you were on my team last year at camp. You were worshiping, going after God, pursuing Him, and now you're not. You're not worshiping, you're talking, you're not listening to the message, you're not going to the altar. Something's happened to you in this last year. What happened? And she said, you know what? It doesn't matter. God doesn't care. He's there in the good times, but in the bad times, He's not there for me. At the end of the day, God's not there. My heart just broke for her. And I says, Angeline, God does love you. I said, I don't know what's happened in your life in the past 12 months. But I do know this, God still loves and cares, and I don't know why you can't hear. And here's the thing I want you to know, Angeline. I just felt the Holy Spirit giving me, I didn't have pre-planned what to say. Because I don't, unless God gives me a word beforehand and I approach it. But I just felt God say, talk to her about Daniel. You see, Daniel was a teenager. He was living in Jerusalem. He was a noble. He was royalty. And when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah and the city of Jerusalem, he took 300 of the nobles, ripped them away from their family, away from their God, away from their culture, away from their friends, away from their life of luxury, away from their own language, and took them to Babylon, and everything's foreign. And only Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 4 out of 300, said, we're not going to eat the meat sacrificed to idols. We're not going to worship idols. We're not going to defile ourselves. We're going to serve God. So Daniel is a teenager. He has this incredible loss, this incredible pain and suffering, but he says, I'm going to serve God. And he served God his whole life. And I said, do you know the story of Daniel in the lion's den? She said, yeah. I says, do you know how old Daniel was when he was in the lion's den? He was about 70 to 80 years old. That's when the lion's den takes place in his life. Most of your Sunday school stories show him as being a young man. He's old, man. Okay, 70's not that old. 80's not that old. It's getting younger all the time. Orton just turned 70. Betty just turned, well, we won't say it because we don't do that for ladies. But and I said, his entire life, he never got to go back to his family. Probably never saw his mom and dad and brothers and sisters again. He never got to go back and worship his God. He was ostracized. He and his friends alone. We don't know what happened to his friends. God never took him back. And people were always gunning for him because when he followed God and God exalted him, they were jealous. He couldn't trust anyone. He was really alone. And at the end of his life, they tried to kill him, falsely accuse him. And in all of that, Daniel never stopped pursuing God. And I said, Angeline, I think if you're really honest with yourself, you will admit that where you're at now and what's happened this past year, where you're at with your life, you think it's fun, you're ignoring God, and that's the good life. You know down deep inside, you're worse off now than when you were serving God. And God still loves you and wants you to come back to him. And that was what I said, and I turned around, walked away. Through the rest of worship that night, during the message, she was bawling. Her youth pastor went up and sat by her and her boyfriend, but she was bawling the service. She didn't go forward, but the next night when the speaker talked about giving her life to God and just going after his dream and his plan, Angeline went forward, and she was just heaving on the floor, and people were ministering to her. She gave up her spiritual pain. Friends, God loves you even when you feel all alone and he doesn't care. Sometimes the spiritual pain is caused by sin. You've turned from God. Sin causes spiritual pain. Other pain, it can be financial pain. Money issues, by a lost job, lost hours, financial setbacks, one thing after another. You just keep getting deeper and deeper in the hole. You can't get out. Debts mounting. You're just trying to survive. Friends, God can handle financial pain. Relational pain. Maybe you lost someone to death or divorce. Maybe you've been betrayed. Maybe you were abandoned. There were kids at camp, their parents were looking at going through a divorce right then and there. Hearts breaking. Friends, whatever your pain is, God wants you to know that he can set you free and deliver you from your pain today. Depend on the Lord for strength. Wait on him. This morning, I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. How many of you would say, Craig, there's some kind of pain in my life that I'm dealing with now? Just put your hand up this morning. You've got some kind of pain, physical, relational, spiritual, emotional. Several hands are up in the air. What I want us to do, I want us to take a few moments, and the first thing I want us to do is I want us to wait quietly, okay? What does God want to say to you about your pain? And if he says nothing, that's fine. But if he says something, I want you to take a moment, take the pen from and back, write it down on your bulletin so you don't forget. Let's just take a few moments. Let's just wait in his presence. Thank you.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.